This message is brought to you by The Covenant Nation.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Let us be seated. God bless you. One more time, I celebrate our principal in the house and his wife for the great work that the Lord has been doing through him to bring this meeting together. As if the Lord, like a child that is born in due time, to bring this meeting together in order to address certain crucial issues in the body. As I mentioned to you yesterday, that our leaders seems over time, either by omission or commission, have brought the body of Christ into an organized chaos, which makes it more difficult to address. Because when the chaos is organized, there's a little adage that says, "Any to di ju to lo un son." Un lo mo gba to ma ji. Tori e le ri ji. There's a Yoruba adage that says, "Who closes his eyes." And when I was still in the pastoral ministry, I encountered a lot of things like this. When I get to the house of a member and ask of him, and the son comes out to say, that his mother told him to tell me that he is sleeping. Then I know. When a man closes his eyes and tells you he is sleeping, you can't wake him up. He will only wake up when he wants to wake up. When our leaders have deliberately arranged to put us in an organized chaos, it becomes more difficult to correct because we are sailing against the current. There are more destroying it than there are those who are repairing it. And those who are repairing it have a Herculean task. And many of them over time are out of frustration almost going to sit down and accept the end time decadence as part of the signs of the end. But there are those of us who refuse to accept that and decided to continue to address the sickness in the body because we have a body ministry. The same way that physicians heal the physical body of a sick person, that's the way that the body of Christ, also being sick, God has also raised body ministers to address it. And to this group I belong, to talk about righteousness and to retain it as part of our lifestyle. And not to allow us to exchange it for capitalist ideas. Not to allow material things to substitute for the spiritual. For I know that you can gain a lot of spiritual things and take material things for granted. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible says all other things will be added. That's the book. But you cannot, at that same time, assume that material possession will bring you spiritual upliftment. No. So it's a risk taken too far when the emphasis vacates the domain of the spiritual and continue to go. Don't forget that the devil took Jesus to a level where he can see stuff. Let me just put it like that. And then tell Jesus that if Jesus can lower the bar, he, the devil, will give Jesus those things that Jesus made. You will give me the things that I made. And whenever you lower the bar, more people come in. You cannot increase quantity and quality at the same time. No. Whenever you are increasing quantity, you are doing so at the expense of quality. And we will only enter heaven by quality. Whenever you lower the bar, I don't know how many credits you need to have to enter Unilag and read medicine. But if we now reduce the entry qualification to 2 credits, one in Yoruba, and a pass in Igbo, to read medicine. More people will come in. But you never know the damage you have done to medicine until this graduate that came into school with 1 credit in Yoruba and another pass in Igbo, when you now give him your wife to operate and to bring out a baby. He has never operated a rat. That's when you know that you have just created a disaster situation. If we now lower the bar, Yaba Tech entrance to read engineering is 1 pass in government and another pass in economics to read engineering. No problem. No problem. You will now know the trouble you have created when this engineer graduates and the bridge he designed, only wheelbarrow. I have watched the body being mismanaged over 50 years. My wife has an orphanage. Motherless babies. There are no babies without mother. Circumstances and conditions bring them to the orphanage. And the leaders of the Christian Union, one of the universities, brought a baby. And they came with the leaders and the mother. And my wife asked, who is the mother? They pointed to her. What is the story around this baby? We went on evangelism and she gave her life to Christ. And we brought her home and looked at the brethren, the ones we can call Jim Jim, to help us disciple her. To help us do follow up for her and then follow in. And the outcome of that embarrassment is this baby. When she was a sinner, now we brought her into church, and what she was not even doing as a sinner, we started to teach her, and then covering it with messages on grace. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is fatal. The answer is not just no. Say, God forbid. That's serious. The question arises for those of us who are leaders, that how did this person become a leader in the church? the management of the body in this end time by the managers and those who are custodians. All the young people who came to me to pray that they are in my church, they were going for NYC. By the time they are coming back and I was calling them, they said they have been ordained. I said, what are you saying? When you are here in our church, we still put you in Sunday school and Bible study. And when I'm calling him, he said, point of correction. The fact that you are laughing at this thing is also part of the problem. Because in the beginning, it was not so. In the 70s, when we tell you, you will be weeping. I was describing the situation with the child that was brought to my wife for care in her orphanage. I was discussing it in the church in Ibadan. And I was saying, the brother was doing follow-up, and then the whole church answered and said, one shot. Church. And that is part of the problem. That our spiritual senses have become deadened, and our capacity to understand decadence and run away from it is gone. Our conscience has become gangrenous, and we have lost the capacity to have spiritual feelings. And our tear glands are dry. That is part of the problem. I dare to continue where I stopped last night. But briefly, I'll be discussing a detail that I couldn't do yesterday. About discussing with you, we're talking about soaring on the wings of faith. And that takes us to an ultimate. High up! High up! And why not? When Jesus comes, what direction do we go? High up! He comes from up, he takes us up. And the highest up, where God is. Where God is. And that becomes the spiritual aspiration. And the entire discussion and conversation in a conference like this is to develop a momentum that drives you on like Elijah. That Elijah was here up to a time he went away. Elijah lived here before. And the Bible did not categorize a person like Elijah as though he was a superman. The Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. But how did he live? Elijah lived with a widow who had only one child. That should be a young widow. And was there for over a year, over 2 years, and never at night knocked her door. And the matter of consecration and its place that should not be traded with another thing, because nothing will substitute for it. I am in the power ministry. I'm a student of power. But I come to know from experience that holiness is 75% power. The remaining 25% is logistics, planning. And I no longer for a person come to think that we need to be seeking power and be seeking power and be seeking power at the expense of uprightness. Holiness is 75% power. Instead of us binding the witches, binding the wizards and casting out all the devils, I told you that the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. But what does the devil eat? and the works of the flesh are this. So when he comes to you and finds no flesh, but fruits. Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is this. So if he comes and finds fruit, no lion eat fruit. He goes away or starve to death. So instead of wasting your time to cast out devil and cast out witches, and I don't even know, for the past 30 years I've never prayed against witches. I don't even know if they exist. So it's because of your level that makes you bother about these things. And the Bible categorizes them as elemental spirits. And you still have time to be talking about witches and wizards? No problem. It's because of your level. Many of us have come to conclude that God does not even do miracles. If you ask the angels, they will tell you God doesn't do miracles. Whatever, because they live with him. Whatever he does, he's just walking. He's just himself. Just walking. That you are celebrating certain signs and wonders is because of your level. You get to a certain level, those signs and wonders just become the normal thing that God does. You enter an airplane and it gets to a point you are seeing things. The tallest building in Lagos will look like a can of milk. You keep going, it will become like an ant. You keep going, you don't even see it again, even though it is there. It's because of your level. It's because of your level. And your level is your responsibility. And soaring on the wings of faith is an attempt to go up to the highest level. And for us to be able to lift you with our tongue, for faith comes by hearing. Again, we are also watching your body weight. All birds have feathers, all birds have wings, but not all birds fly. And I told you yesterday the reason why. Body weight. Ostrich is a bird, but it can't fly because of body weight. I'm just reminding you, a kind of recap, what I said yesterday, what I will say forever. If you will go up, he said, seeing that we are being surrounded with a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Wait, sir, wait. Then he said, and the sin. So the sin is weight. As we have problems with obesity, people who have added more body, more mass, more flesh, with certain health related, obese related health issues. Even that's how it is in the spirit. When you have added too much flesh, too much weight, you begin to develop certain spiritual health complications. Your prayer life becomes dry. Your Bible study becomes stale. Whereas David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. In your own case, you find excuses. Life in the valley. In Psalm 23, David said in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the takeoff point of this narrative is though, that is, though. That is, in case I do, that is, if by any chance you find me there, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if you find him there, is a though, is a disaster. If you find him there, is an error, is a mistake. He doesn't live there. Life in the valley. But we are now told what it is there. We are told what it is there. The valley of the shadow of death. Life in the valley. In the shadow of death. Life in the valley. Soaring on the wings of faith, we are taking you. What are you doing in the valley? Life in the valley of dry bones. Life in the valley, mass burial of casualties of war. Life in the valley, what are you doing there? After Elijah had finished a national crusade on Mount Carmel, where the whole nation gathered and were converted and convinced, and a witch drove him out of town. You've just operated on the mountain top. You came to the valley. A witch drove you out of town and ended your ministry because you never came back to town to continue. And we have now to come to you and lie in the valley there. What doest thou here? What are you doing here?
We just finished a crusade. The whole people gave their life to Christ. Blah, 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 blah. And then they're looking for my life to take it. And he sat under a tree and asked God to kill him. Is that how God killed people? A witch promised to kill you in town. You ran away. Now you come here to come and ask God to kill you under a tree. Is that how God killed people? Spiritual frustration has no hospital. If it is true that you want to die, you should have waited for the witch who promised you death. Does God kill people? When you have fatally failed, you try to spiritualize your error. And it doesn't hold. If in truth you want to die, you should have waited for the person who promised you death. You're sitting under a tree and ask God to kill you. Is that how God kills people? Life in the valley is a confusion because that's not your place. But the valley is a place you come to as a result of you lost your balance up there on the hill and you ended up in the valley. Life in the valley is a life that is waiting to die. Life in the valley is in the shadow of death. Life in the valley is reminiscent of dry bones who lost their battle, dry bones of human beings. They were ambushed in war and they were prevailed upon and given mass burial in the valley. Life in the valley is a place of mourning and weeping. But the fact is that God still has the men that have become bone, men that have been reduced to bone. God still has them in mind when he carried Ezekiel and said, let's go over there. There are certain people who have lost their personality. They've lost their essence. They've lost their ministry. They've been reduced to bone. We can't recognize them anymore. They've lost their identity. We need to cover them back with flesh. We need to cover them back with skin. We need to cover them back and put life back in them. Life in the valley. How many people are here in church today and you are in the valley waiting to be lifted back to the mountaintop? I am sent to you. In Judges chapter 16, then Samson went to Gaza, the same Gaza, where they're fighting now. And saw there an harlot and went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is coming hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two poles, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley. Yes, he, I don't want to talk about this, but in spite of his backsliding, I told you yesterday that adulterated fuel is still fuel, sir. We even drive with it. A prodigal son is still a son, it's only prodigal. He went into a harlot, and God was still there with him, and the enemy camped him round about there with a view to capture him and kill him there and end him there. That is life in the valley. They will kill you because you went there. They didn't come to you. They know they can't. And he carried everything and domiciled his ministry on the top of a mountain, soaring on the wings of faith. Soaring on the wings of faith. However you are able to get up, learn to stay there. Don't come to the valley. And he built the headquarters of his ministry on the hilltop. The Philistines will not go to him there. When you are in your place, the law of place. When you are in your place, you don't struggle. But the Bible says he now loved a woman in the valley. Put your love where your strength is. Invest your resources where your strength is. In the valley, the lords of the Philistines came to meet him. Verse 5. The lords of the Philistines came unto her, the woman, and said to her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. The whole ministry of Samson had been reduced to a price. On two occasions, an angel came to this world because of you. We are now pricing you. If we go to heaven to ask what your value is, they will say it's not for sale. You have a Nazarite mandate. Ever before your mother conceived you, the angel came two times to this world because of you alone, to tell your mother the details of how you are supposed to live. You are not such a person. What are you doing in the valley? Now that you are in the valley, there's a valley price. If you go to the house of Joseph and ask the father how much, the father of Joseph will tell you that's not for sale. But if by any means you now end up by the roadside, they'll price you 20 pieces of silver. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, yes. But when he came down here, they put 30 pieces of silver on him. I can understand why he came down. He came to save us. I can understand why you went down. Put your love where your strength is. Life in the valley. Even if you are the minister of women affairs, if in the evening you wear skimpy and stand on Allen's Avenue, an idiot will place a price on you for the night. Where we find you is what determines your price. What are you doing in the valley? You are not meant there. You don't belong there. You don't have a house there. You don't have your destiny there. What are you doing in the valley? When you are supposed to be at the mountaintop. And the Bible tells us where we will end it. That towards the end of life, we will end our ministry, we will end our life with the Lord Jesus Christ. We will end it up there. We will end it up there. And the rehearsal of the life over there is what Jesus wanted us to understand. That even though we are here, but our citizenship is in heaven. That he told us that when we pray, we should say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is to say, your life here should be like the life in heaven. This place, people like Enoch lived here, not another place. He lived here. He also was married. His children go to school. His wife went to market. But the Bible says that Enoch walked with God in this place. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch walked with God for 300 years in this place. And God was coming, and he and Enoch will be walking together. And the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? In what way did Enoch and God come to agreement? Enoch was a man, God was a spirit. How was spirit and man working together? Was it that God downgraded or Enoch upgraded? How did we find a medium and a middle point where God and man could be working together? You need to do something about your life. That a man was using his shadows in the mold of Peter to heal the sick. His shadow was healing the sick. You are not even a shadow yet. You are a whole human being. Something should embarrass you. That Elisha's bones was raising the dead and remained dead. Now you are not dead. Something is wrong somewhere. And the state of spiritual embarrassment into which you found yourself is because you lost your seat up there. You came to the valley. What are you doing here? That's the question God was asking Elijah. What doest thou here? What are you doing here? You don't belong here. That God was coming and him and Enoch, they will be walking together and talking together. And God will go away. Maybe another week, God will come. This place used to be like an annex of heaven where he comes. Maybe one day, as they were walking and talking and going, the same way it happened between Elijah and Elisha, the Bible says, as they walked and talked. So maybe as two of them, God and Enoch, were, they just came to a point and God told them, "I better leave them, let's go." But she lot on fair you lane. I better leave them, let's go. The Bible says that Enoch was taken to heaven from here. And there was no place they did a waiting to change him. Borogidi,
No se gbe kuro bi no se gbe wole. And they are, the people in heaven that they went to meet did not complain. Say, "Embo let him be lay bo." I better take this. They gave him seat. They gave Enoch seat. Sit down. When Elijah was taken from here, they took him wholesale and they took him to heaven from here. From here, sir. From here, from this same place here. And the Bible says Elijah is a man like person like you. I told you yesterday who you should be. That God made man like himself. That God emptied himself into the man. So in content, what you find inside him was man, was God inside him. The whole of God was emptied into him. When I asked you yesterday, who do you think was, what do you think God was making? God was making another God. And that's why in Psalm 82 verse 6, he said, "You have been told that ye are gods and children of God." And Jesus recited this same psalm that have you not heard? When they were querying Jesus, that Jesus made himself equal to God. What is that all about? He said, "Have you not read? Have you not read that ye are gods?" Something should happen to you here to raise you to another level where you can say to yourself, "I'm no longer an ordinary person." I was in a service in Ado, and Sunday Senwa preached, and I arrived on Saturday, and I preached on Saturday, and as the protocol was taking me outside the church premises, the wife of the protocol officer stood in front of the car and did like this. Baba Sheung, have you heard that Sheung is dead? And the man said, "I've not heard." Then the wife said, "They've been calling you the guardian in boarding house in Inye Ekiti, is not far from Ado." He said, "They've been calling you and say you are not picking call." He said, "I can't pick call. We're inside the service." Say, "Well, Sheung is dead." Then the man breathed down and told his wife. He said, "The guest minister is already in my car with his wife. Let me go and drop them. Then I will come back." Then the wife asked him, "What did you say?" Then he told the wife, he said, "I said that the guest speaker is already in the car. Will I ask them to go down? Let me go and drop them, then I'll come back. Then we'll go and figure out what to do with this dead child in the camp school." Then the woman began to scream, "Akobi omo, the firstborn has died. Oh, they say they want to go and drop person." My wife and I, we were seated. Then as she was screaming, people were running out of the church. As the man saw the crowd surging out of the church, what happened? The man pointed at the wife and said, "Mama Sheung." I will never forget what this man said. I will say it in Yoruba and I will come back to English. "Oni Mama Sheung, mi o mo rin ko, mi o mo wa su wa. Ise eyo kan ton fun mi ni church ni, je kin se. Je kin se. Amotiku, yes. Kin mo fe se?" He said, "I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to sing. This is the only church, this is the only work they gave me in this church, and it's once in a year convention. Please let me do it."
when this woman would not agree and was screaming on top of her voice, and people were screaming out of the service, and she kept shouting, the man put his car in gear, whoom, and left. He said, let me do it. And then we got to the front of the hotel. I came out. Take it easy. God will take control. What do you say the name is? He said the name is Sheol, and it's in the boarding house in Iyekiti. The guardian called me in the morning that the girl is sick, and I told them to take the girl to the hospital. That's all I had. Now she's dead. I said, okay. Sheol, come back. Bada. My wife is here. I screamed 3 times. Sheol, come back. 3 times. The man turned. What was going on in my mind? 1 hour ago, sir, I was the guest speaker. But now I am a person. Now you no go agree. Don't let them reduce you to their level. They might bring you to the valley. Take yourself back. In my own presence, the woman said, firstborn has died, oh! They said they want to go and drop person. And I'm seated here. I know if I talk to this woman will insult me. So I leave it to herself. But I also determined not to remain at her level. I decided not to remain at her level. You are the one that will not decide to stay in the valley. You get up and say, I'm going back to the mountaintop. Don't mess me up. Stand up and say it loud. Don't mess me up. Excuse me. 1 hour ago, I was the guest speaker of this convention. Now something happened and I have just become a person. How? Let me even recall the girl. Let her not come back. But let it not be said that I did nothing. That they call me person and I accept. I'm not a person. You will know this on the next day. Next day was Sunday morning. And lo and behold, this man was the one to come and pick me again. And I asked him what happened about what the bad news they brought from Iyekiti yesterday. He said, sir, as I was driving into the premises of the church, it was also Mama Sheol that did like this and said, they have called from Iyekiti that Sheol has opened eye. I said, okay. My wife is here. We are there. So we went to service. And after church, this lady walked up to me. My wife even took pictures with her and said, thank you, sir. My father told me that I died yesterday and you recalled me. Because the girl came to the service. I used my mouth to carry you from where they dump you. Let's go back to the mountaintop. Let's go back to the mountaintop. I yank off the valley price, the yeye price, the harlot price, the laborer price, because of where they found you. Now you carry yourself, go there. Only you know what you are looking for there. But you are now attracting a valley price. You are a prince. Can we go up back to the mountaintop where you belong? A prophet thou art. Brother Samson, what are you doing here? I told you yesterday the power of Moses was in his hands. The power of Joshua was in his leg. The power of Samson was on his head.
Manage your power center.
For every man that God gave power, there is the management of the power center. God will give you power, but he will never be the one to help you manage it.
God gave Solomon money. God is not the one to help you manage it. Everything God has given man, he doesn't come to help you manage it. You are responsible to wherever you end with it.
And Brother Samson went and placed his head on the laps of a woman. This one that you and woman stay inside room, two of you only, and you say the devil is a liar. You are the liar. Because fornication and adultery is one sin in the Bible. He doesn't hear prayer.
What the Bible says is flee fornication.
Now, in your own case, you sat down there, sir.
That's what Joseph did to the wife of Potiphar. If you lose your garment, don't lose your dream. Because another garment we may find, another dream you may never find. Leave your garment alone.
Where was Potiphar's wife when Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt? Tell yourself, I'm going somewhere. Say it, no nonentity will stop me. I'm going somewhere.
Sir, the Bible says, the scrape of the hair of Samson. And Samson got up and said, let me go out like at other time. And he never knew that the Lord had left him. I wish he knew. But that's the way power is. You know when it comes. You never know when it goes.
On Pentecost day, we know when it comes. But when he goes,
well, how does he go? I've seen men leave my church. When men leave you, you even be calling them, they will not answer you. They will not pick your call again. Well, how does God leave a man?
When they say God has left him, yes.
Only one Samson in the Bible. You have only one, you throw it away. How?
So when Samson said, oh God, the Bible says that the hair was growing. Delilah can remove it, but Delilah cannot stop it from growing again.
Thank you.
And the number of people Samson killed as a backslider was more than he used 20 years to kill. There is hope for a tree when it is cut, because it will grow up again. Somebody's hair is growing again. And where you've been struck down and you're abandoned, God has asked me to come to you to pick you up. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. And to tell you that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Your backsliding took you to the valley, but I'm telling you, get up and let's go. Get up. Get up, let's go. Your indulgences and compromises and name it, and you have come up with different names to justify your compromises and indulgences. But that's where you find yourself now. You are now a valley brother, and you are now attracting a valley price. You are now a valley sister, and you are now attracting a valley price. When if you have stayed on the mountain top, they will tell whoever is bringing money that this one is not for sale. There are creatures who stay up. When the Bible says, when the Bible says that the keeper of Israel neither sleep nor slumber, you wonder. There are creatures that God made that don't sleep at all. For example, a horse. A horse does not sleep. A horse may even in 2 weeks sleep for 3 hours, but it will sleep while standing. Elephants don't sleep. This one is not in the Bible, but in the handset that is in your hand. There are many creatures that also stay up. There is a certain bird called Apus Apus. Apus Apus, about the size of my hand. Apus, a migratory bird, is one of the birds that migrate from one area of bad weather or where there's no food to another. But some of the times when it has to cover distances, and because of its size, Apus Apus stays up in the air for 10 months. It decides not to eat. It decides to become smaller. It imposes upon itself a metabolism constraint and restraint. It can stay in the air and stay up there against whirlwind, against storm. It can stay there for 10 months. If it's hungry and it's about to die, it will open Apus Apus. When we live here, open your Google. Apus Apus, it will open its mouth like this and be in the air there. And up and stay there and remain there, because that's where the destiny prescribed the place for Apus Apus. He will stay there. He will open his mouth like this. Wah! And God will be putting food in its mouth. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How do they say it? And he likened them to the eagle. He did not liken them to a lion. He said, with wings they will soar. Like eagle. How does eagle renew his strength? An eagle lives for 70 years. It's about the lifespan of a man. At the age of 40, an eagle enters a rock high, high, high up and be racking his beak, bam, on the rock until all the old beaks pull off. The talons with which it makes a prey, He will rack it on the rock until the talons fall off and it comes out new. He will drill out his withers and throw them off and grow new ones. And this journey takes the eagle 150 days. Inside a rock uphill. And when it comes out, the strength is renewed. It can carry a live goat and fly away. The eagle is the only animal in the world. That's what I studied in school, ladies and gentlemen. The eagle is the only animal in the world that is monogamous. He doesn't sleep with another mate throughout his lifetime. Whether it's a male or a female, he keeps to one partner throughout his lifetime. God rebuked Ephraim. He said, Ephraim, leave him alone. He said, Ephraim, women have devoured her strength. He said, leave him alone. When the Bible says to anything, leave him alone, he has given up on you. The eagle is the only animal in this world that maintains one partner throughout its lifetime for 70 years. The eagle does not build a nest here and go and build another nest there. No, the eagle is consistent. The eagle's vision is the sharpest in the world. The eagle can sight his prey over 25 miles. The eagle is the only animal in the world that has certain peculiar features that no other animal. The eagle maintains one partner for a lifetime. And when the Bible says he conserves strength, he does not waste his strength, the eagle, and lives for 70 years. It's only at the age of 40 that he's halfway through. He goes to the mountain to relieve it. And he knows the place. And he does not build two nests. He builds only one. And each time he wants to produce, go back to that nest. Your life of inconsistency. Today you are down here, tomorrow you are up there. You don't stay in one church. We don't know you. You have lived a life that is not traceable, and you have made yourself very difficult to develop. Investors can't find you. There's one woman in my church. She had an only son. And we looked for this son, we didn't find the son, and we stopped praying about it. Then I was holding a crusade in London. And the people who came from Kwara State, they came to my hotel, and they were introducing themselves, till they got to this brother, Femi, and he introduced himself and called his name, connecting to that woman. And I said, are you the son of this woman in my church? He said, yes, sir. I said, we've been looking for you. Then he asked me, is my mother still alive? I said, your mother is still alive. He gave me cash. He said, when you get home, give them to your mother. Tell your mother you saw me. And I said, by 9 o'clock next Sunday, I'll be in church. Call. I told my secretary that even if I'm preaching, I'm expecting a call from London. Bring the handset to me on the altar. Somebody we've been looking for and we can't find. Now we found. 9 o'clock, my secretary ran to me on the altar and said, the man from London is calling. The man from London is calling. And I told the ushers, Ejo, Eba mi wa mama buoye. They were looking for this woman. For the first time in 25 years, he didn't come to church. She's the first to come. She's the last to go. She's the one to pick the nylon of chewing gum. She's the one to clean the place for 25 years. The only Sunday that was the most important Sunday in her life, she was not in service. After that, I called Femi. Femi didn't pick my call. I went to London. I called him. He didn't pick my call. Now the woman died. I called the man. The man didn't pick my call. Raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm here today. I'm not absent. From the valley. Talk, 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 talk. From the valley. I'm taking off. I'm going up. No stopping me. At a point, Samson told them, said, bind me with ropes. And the men of Judah bound Samson with ropes and carried him to the Philistines. And the Bible says, when the Philistines saw Samson, they shouted, hey! And the Bible says, strength came to Samson. And Samson broke the ropes. You would have heard as a child in our orphanage, when they brought her, she was squeezed. You know, babies in their mother cough. It's when they are born, they stretch. This one was born and he refused to stretch. He continued to grow like that and grow like that and grow like that until the head touched the knee. When you are carrying this girl, you carry her like a basket. When visitors come, we go and hide her. It's a monster. One day in our orphanage, a shout. Hey! We ran out. What happened? Snake bite, scorpion sting. What is it? And we found this girl where she is. Stretching. Stretching. The shout continued. Everybody was watching as if you are watching a movie. And this girl stretched until she was at the correct size for her age. And stood up. And walked. And talked. Will God make a human being in one day? Yes. How many days did it take God to make Adam? A miracle will be taking place in service here this morning, and it will be the type of miracle that you have never seen before. When I order you to give a shout, the shout that Joshua told the children of Israel, he said, give a shout. Who art thou, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he will reach out his hand to the topmost stone, shouting, grace, grace. If blind Bartimaeus did not know how to shout, he would die blind. If you're flying over Casablanca, you look to your left. You will see an island inside the Atlantic Ocean. They call it Canary Islands. The worst aeroplane accident happened in Canary Islands. KLM was taking off. Pan Am was landing. Misty. The weather was not clear. Because it's a Spanish island, the place is very small. Where you take to land, that's where you take to take off. The same wrong way. And the control tower misled KLM to come down, not knowing that Pan Am was also on the tarmac. So when KLM saw death and announced to the passengers that we are all at risk, there's a brother in the plane. This was reported in the Voice magazine of Full Gospel. Go and Google the worst aeronautic disaster in the history of flying. It took place in Canary Islands. And KLM ran into Pan Am and split it into two and emptied its fuel on it and catch fire. 300 passengers here with crew. 300 passengers here. All of them got burnt beyond recognition. And there was a brother who said, when I saw that death has come, I shouted, Jesus! And 200 hands entered the plane and uprooted the seatbelt and carried him to the door of the aircraft and opened the door and put him down and closed the door. The other people in the aircraft were talking about how there's something wrong with the United States. You need to service our equipment. What's the aviation college doing in Florida? You endanger people's lives and put people in trouble after paying so much money like this. No. Go ahead. The devil understands only one language. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous enters therein and he saved. The only person who was screaming, Jesus. Wait. If, like I said, if blind Bartimaeus did not know how to shout, he would die blind. Where are the people who beat this drum? Go there. There is a sound on that keyboard. Look at me. The trumpet. Can you figure out where the trumpet is on the keyboard? You are going to press it down. The Bible says when you are going to war, in Numbers chapter 10, verse 9, he said, when you are going to war, he said, blow the trumpet and the Lord will fight. Don't forget that our Lord said that when the archangel will be coming, it is this trumpet he will blow, and the dead since Abel will rise. Your dead kidney, your dead heart, your dead brain, when you hear this sound, you are waking up. Some of you are coming out of your grave. Some of you are coming out from downstairs. You are going upstairs. Some of you who, for various reasons, you've been knocked down and out, and your life ended in the valley. From the valley, I'm coming to pick you up. I'm coming to pick you up. The hand of God is coming to pick you up. Your bones will be released. The chains around you will be broken. The chains on your neck will be broken. The chains on your leg shall be broken. The chains around you shall be broken. The same power that broke the light and she came alive. I was in London. I was in a conference of medical doctors with my wife, and I was talking about the miracle of that took place in a conference of doctors. And one doctor said, that girl, I'm interested in that girl. I will sponsor that girl for life. Whenever you are coming to London, bring her over to me. This child, we used to hide her when we have visitors. The stone that the builders have written. Have you been able to figure out where it is? Press it down. Let me hear. Trumpet. That's not trumpet. Figure it out. Trumpet. The drum, you are there. Blessings forevermore. When I give go, you'll be beating these drums. Back, 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 back. Boop, 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 boop. The walls of Jericho everywhere is coming down. Everybody shout, Jesus! name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous enters in and he is saved. For there is no other name given among men where we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Hey! The first shout did not give blind Bartimaeus eyes. It was the second one. The first shout ended in argument. The first shout ended in controversy. The first shout did not bring eye. This second one, you are going to shout. You lose yourself. You free your leg. You bend. You squeeze. You twist. Everybody shout Jesus. For the last time, wherever you are hearing me, whether you are hearing me online, whether you are hearing me in the house, wherever you are hearing me, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is this one shout that brings all the wall of Jericho down. This is one shout that gives you new eyes, that gives you new leg, that gives you new kidney, that gives you new brain, that gives you new sense. With this, we are going up. No more valley. No more valley price. No more valley experience. Shout Jesus! Take a victory dance, a liberty dance, a freedom dance, a healing dance, a blessing dance, a deliverance dance. Hallelujah. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. For the Lord is on the throne. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. Things are getting better.